Hello, this is Kyle Richardson, Senior Online Editor for Promo Marketing, and I'm joined today by Rick Brenner, CEO of Primeline, and Gene Geiger, CEO of Geiger. Gene and Rick are the co-chairs of the first ever PPAI Product Safety Summit, being held today in Denver, and they're taking a few minutes to discuss with us what they are doing out in Colorado. Rick, Gene, thank you both for speaking with me today. For those in our audience who don't know, could you explain briefly what the Product Safety Summit is?
Sure. Today's Product Safety Summit is a meeting of senior executives from industry suppliers, industry distributors, to try and deal with the subject of product safety at much more depth than we've ever been able to do in the seminars that we've given at various industry events over the past several years. It emanated out of a group that Gene had within PPAI called the Product Responsibility Action Group, PRAG. And within PRAG, we discussed how important it would be to be able to deal at more depth than we've ever been able to do to actually help suppliers and distributors understand how to establish compliance programs.
To give a little more specificity to today, and this is Gene, we just finished a session where Rick and a lady lawyer from Washington, Jennifer Carmonic, a testing executive from STR, and Mary Toro from the CPSC went through the basics of the CPSIA legislation that has a major impact on our business. And coming up will be some hands-on work so that people can sort of understand better how products are viewed, how they need to be tested and things. We're going to get in a little later on to how the law impacts our businesses and how we're adjusting and dealing with the laws. What impact must we address? And then later on, at the end of the day, after we hear Mary Toro of the CPSC speak, we're going to talk about what lessons did we learn, what can we take forth and do to better comply with laws so that we're doing what's right for our companies and our industry.
Great. Now, Mary Toro is the Director of Regulatory Enforcement for the CPSC, and she's going to be doing the keynote today, correct?
Correct. Mary heads a compliance office, and so many of the decisions of how products are treated as to whether they're considered children's products, as to whether they're considered toys, comes under Mary's guidance at the agency. So it's a wonderful benefit to our industry that she hears from the industry what our issues are, that the commission understands how we do business and the differences between our industry and, for example, the retail industry, where a manufacturer might design a toy for a certain age group. We have a different business model, and it's so important for the commission to understand us and for us to understand them, so we feel very fortunate to have Mary here today.
It's really an unparalleled opportunity. Mary is here for the whole day, and we prevailed upon her, in addition to doing the keynote at lunchtime today, she's sitting on each panel, and as questions come up or as we want some further clarification, she's adding to the dialogue, and it's just terrific. This morning, she responded to a whole lot of questions, tried to clarify a bunch of gray areas, but as Rick said, in addition to that, it is, I think, exceedingly beneficial to have her hear how our industry operates, because the laws as they're constructed don't ever consider our industry. They're focusing on what's going on with retail products and consumer products that are a bit different the way our industry runs and the markets that we sell to.
Yeah, it seems like a great opportunity. Rick, I know you and I have discussed the problems with unlabeled products in relation to children's products, and it seems like Mary Toro is able to understand how that difference affects us and how the difference between an unlabeled product or a product labeled with a children's logo could have a huge world of difference in our industry.
Yes, and she's been able to give us a very clear perspective of what the commission considers children's products what they consider general use items, and was able to share with us some information that was very helpful in that the commission will be coming out in a few months with new guidance. You and I talked a couple of weeks ago about the document called the Final Interpretive Ruling on Children's Products, where the commission gave us guidance on what constitutes a children's product. Now they're coming out with a similar document in a few months of what's giving us better guidance about toys. So that was very beneficial for us to learn.
And by the way, for the average person or the average person in our industry, there's a difference between a children's product and a toy. And the differences are not necessarily great, but they're differences. And we need to understand where the lines are there.
Kyle, one of the things that we're discussing today, and it's going to be a major topic during the day, is the difference between what we're required to do from a compliance perspective and what may or may not be in the industry's best interest from a business perspective. So it well may be that there's a product that is going to be used by young children, which the commission might regard as a general use item. And what that means is that it's not subject to the lead limits of CPSIA. It could legally have several thousand parts per million of lead, still be used by young children, and be legal. And yet, is that really in our industry's best interest when a particular company's logo is going to be affixed to that product and could potentially be the source of embarrassment if somebody ever tested that product and publicized that that company was involved in distributing products to children with lead in them, legal or not?
Yeah, we've also discussed that regarding the plastic bags in Florida, how even if the level of lead isn't really dangerous, just that bad publicity is enough to give a story legs and have it keep going and really hurt a company's reputation.
Yes, you're correct, and that particular incident has already come up several times today.
The people who sell our products and are interacting with customers have to be anticipating more than the law, but really where consumer attitudes are going. And in turn, we talked this morning about how each supplier and each distributor has to have a strategy, but also has to have a deep understanding of the marketplace more broadly than just what is a legal issue. And by the way, most of what we talked about this morning was the federal legislation. But there's also Prop 65 in California, and something close to 30 of the states now have enacted laws governing various aspects of product safety that we all have to be mindful of. Because if stuff goes into Illinois and there's some limits on what the product can contain in Illinois, you've got to be aware of it, because if you get caught, you get caught.
Yeah, and that ties in very well with what PPAI announced yesterday, the turbo test. Gene, I know you were the chair on that committee. I was hoping you could explain a little bit further what that tool is.
Well, this stuff is very complicated, and when it comes down to a specific situation, working with one's lawyer or talking to an expert, Rick Ann Lardner of PPAI, those things are oftentimes necessary. But when you need to know something, you need to have a place to turn to. And PPAI has just announced this turbo test, which allows anyone to go online and respond to a series of questions or issues. You can get a sense for the things you need to know about a given product. Essentially, it's an online tool that gets you started in dealing with issues of product safety quickly at the time that you need to know about it. And we are really excited about this as one of the several foundational elements that PPAI is offering to members to help them meander through this labyrinth of laws and confusion.
It sounds like a very useful tool to be able to cut through a lot of the clutter for people and help them to narrow down what they need to focus on.
Kyle, we've actually had input from the commission. They're not formally endorsing it, but they've actually looked at it and given us tips on how we could improve it, and so we're quite grateful for their support as well.
That's fantastic.
I will say that our group here is doing some very important work. We've made a lot of progress. We've seen a change of attitudes. We've seen a commitment to people learning and doing what's right. Having said that, there's a whole lot more work to do, because we've got an industry of, pick a number, 4,000 suppliers, 25,000 distributors, 600,000 products, and clearly we're only at the beginning stages of getting our arms around these things, and to this point in time, a relatively few firms in the industry are really embracing their knowledge and their commitment to product safety. So we got a lot more work to do, but this is a really important initial start, session today.
Kyle, one of the most encouraging things of all is Paul Bellinzone started the meeting by handing the mic to participants and having them go around the room and introduce themselves. And I can tell you that the number of senior executives of representing, I would say, hundreds of millions of dollars of business, if not more than a billion, in our industry, are all represented here, which is a tremendous testament to how valuable this information is and what it means to the industry.
By the way, on the positive side, we had a session on product safety yesterday at the North American Leadership Conference. One of the things that positive out of all this, that suppliers and distributors can, when they embrace product safety, offer a value-added service to their customers. And so if we look upon this as something that is important and helpful, we can go in the marketplace and we can sell our services as more than just offering product. The firms that are embracing this thing are in a position to tell their customers, we're doing our very best to help you mitigate your risks and to keep your brand protected.
That seems like a very important takeaway. This does not have to be seen as a negative, that this can be, you know, this can be turned to the positive for distributors and suppliers.
We felt that yesterday and today, that this is being embraced in a constructive, positive way, not a, oh, damn, we've got to do one more stupid thing here. There's a positive side to this.
As you said, this is a first step, but it sounds like you've got a very good first step in what will be a long but ultimately beneficial road for our industry. And it sounds like you've got a great conference set up, and I look forward to hearing how the rest of the summit develops.
Terrific. Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you, Kyle.
Gene, thanks for speaking with me.